Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Beth, Tara, and myself, Sandy, and we are with Tara's new series called On Making Disciples, and it is such a good series. I hope you've been listening with us. We are in John 1, 35 through 51, and last week we talked about the history of redemption and what Jesus has done for us. And Beth, during that time, had made a comment about what she liked about that.
I just loved that there's different names, and each person needs to hear, you know, Jesus's different name for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, not for them, but, you know, to them. Like we talked about the Lamb of God, you know, Jesus, you know, the teacher, you know, the one called the Christ. And every person is, when they're called to follow, you know, might need it to hear his as a different name.
Yeah, and we're all different, and he calls us in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason also why the passage reveals to us all the different men and how the process of the call occurred. Remember, it was, you know, John told the disciples, Jesus told them to follow, and then, you know, how Andrew got Simon Peter, and Jesus invited Philip, Philip invited Nathaniel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the same. It's not cookie cutter. And and so what we need to hear in that revelation, and who might bring that revelation of who Jesus is, it's not, it doesn't have to be the same for every person. It's going to be differently. And I just remember the first time I caught on to that in my young 20s, I guess in my mind it had to be exactly the same for everybody.
Yeah, I think I did the same thing.
And
I did too.
Realizing that it doesn't, that God will meet us differently and uniquely because he has created us special.
Yep.
And we're each uniquely designed to be in relationship with him based on who we are,
right,
and not the way somebody else is. And so not to try to put myself into so-and-so's mold of, you know, how it might be called or even might be to serve, you know, that it's going to be different in what he has in defining that and just relaxing and allowing that plan to happen. So as we're going through and looking at these and the call that is occurring, I'm just blown away. And we were discussing the fact that, you know, like with Simon Peter, we know Peter is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a large part of what we learn about what it means to be a follower of Christ, we learn through his mess ups.
Mm-hmm.
I so identify with him. Yeah, and this particular passage in the call, it's just a renaming. There's not a whole lot of identifying factors about him. It's just, you know, he's just a bystander. You know, which just is so cool how God works, and I love that. And as we're going through and we're looking at these names, we're now at the point where we're going to look at when Andrew has spoken to Nathaniel, and he's telling Nathaniel, we have seen the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. And we had talked about that last week. And so up to this point, we've looked at the Lamb of God, which is his sacrifice. We've looked at Jesus, which is his manhood. We've looked at Rabbi, which is his mission. We've looked at Messiah, which is his gift. We've looked at the one called the Christ, which is his title. The one Moses and the prophets wrote about, which is his history.
Mm.
And now we're going to see the name Jesus of Nazareth. Now, why do you think Jesus of Nazareth is a title that is given? I kind of hinted at it on a couple of the other shows, but why would that be so important?
It was, it's a prophecy. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He will come from Nazareth.
Right.
He will come from Nazareth, and it's proclaimed through Moses and the prophets, so there's a connection, a tie-in from there. Why would we as a human need to know what town Jesus was born in? Why would that be important?
Well, when you're talking to someone and you're in a conversation, it comes up. So where are you from?
Yeah.
That's what I thought, you know, like with Nazareth, that it was a lowly place. And if I remember right, there was a lot of disconnect in that city. And I don't remember the history completely.
Yeah.
But it was just like, you know, you can come from any place and it doesn't matter. Jesus, you know, he came from a place that nobody really respected.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes to both. When we have conversations with one another, the first thing we want to know is where you're from.
Right, and we do.
And then we also need to know, it helps us to know a little bit about the background. And in this case, for Jesus, the place that he came from was lowly. Mm-hmm. It was insignificant. It was viewed as the place, can anything good come from Nazareth? I mean, that the scripture makes it very clear. Mm-hmm. This is not a well-viewed place.
Right.
And this
mm-hmm.
is where the Lamb of God, Jesus, Rabbi, Messiah, the one called Christ, the one Moses and the prophets talked about, came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's a revelation of his earthly home.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Lamb of God reveals his heavenly home, this is the revelation of his earthly home. Okay? This is significant because this shows he truly was on this earth. And it's like a title that fulfills the certainty of his manhood. So thinking on his earthly home, what's the next thing you want to know? Well, is the next title. What is he called?
Son of Joseph.
Why in the world would we need to know he's the son of Joseph? I mean, he's the Lamb of God. Who cares that he's the son of Joseph?
Is that like he has an earthly father and a heavenly father?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right there, it's showing us again his godhood and his manhood. His earthly father. This is his earthly dad. So we have his sacrifice, his manhood, his mission, his gift, his title, his history, his earthly home, and his earthly dad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you can relate more to somebody that's like more like you?
Absolutely.
When I asked this at the mission and we were talking through this, the men and women were sharing with me that, you know, it just makes me feel like, well, I can relate to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he came from Nazareth and he had an earthly person that raised him, then he's not too remote that I can't relate to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes another connecting point that we have with the Son of God. Because he is also a son of a man. Hmm. Now, not physical, but raised.
Oh, right.
Yep.
Raised. So as you ponder those two, what does that speak to you about Jesus, learning that he is of Nazareth and of Joseph? How does that make you feel when you think of him? Does it make you want to connect? You guys are very silent.
We are silent.
We're on the radio. We've got to speak.
Speak up, please.
Speak up. I think it makes you feel like you can.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's true, too.
Okay.
You know, I was going back to Open Door Mission when you were talking about that, and I'd sit in a little bit, and you could just see the connection, you know, of when they would finally just reveal their souls, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
And how sad. They have come from some difficult situations, you know, and a Nazareth himself, like you've said before. And so they can connect with Jesus, knowing that he had also come from a lowly place.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have the high, and I want you to see that, like, if we were to even chart this, if we could, we're like, high, Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Jesus, which is his earthly name, and then teacher, his mission, his gift, his title.
Yep.
Then we kind of go into his earthly history, and I don't know, you can't even see, you guys can't, but my hand's moving, showing this, I'm charting this in the air. And then it takes us down and it shows us his earthly home and his earthly lineage, his earthly history. We've seen his prophetic and his eternal and heavenly, and now we're seeing the earthly. And then as if we need to be reminded, God does not leave us there. Because though he did come and walked on this earth for a season as a man and did come and had an earthly home and did come and had an earthly dad that raised him, that is not where he remained.
Yep.
And so we go to then Nathaniel, who gives us the ultimate final boom into the revelation. And so what does Nathaniel end up saying about Jesus?
He is the Son of God.
He starts with what word first, though? Teacher. Rabbi.
Yep.
You are Son of God.
You know, when you were just talking about that, you know, that he doesn't stay there, it is exactly like us. He doesn't leave us there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness.
Exactly. It's kind of like, you know, we're going through all this, but it's what he does for us too.
That's why I said
that's
it reveals
the pulse of sound of that.
This is a revelation of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And I've studied this passage many times, and I know I studied it at seminary, and I never ever saw this. And it wasn't until I started just taking the time, learning how to tell it, and asking the questions. And then I'm like, oh my goodness, how could I have ever missed that? So Son of God. So we've seen his earthly home, his earthly dad, and then Nathaniel takes us and shoots us back up where he is from.
You know, you talked about assumption. Remember, we never assume and look for those. Wouldn't like Son of Joseph also be Son of Man?
Yes.
So we can put it in that also?
Yes. Yes.
That is good.
That would be a good one to have.
I was just thinking that with the Son of God, I'm thinking, well, he was also Son of Man.
Yes.
Little case man. Little
right. Right. Very good. Recognizing. And that's one of the things, actually, that I bring up. If you were to take this and examine this in the passage of Scripture, I emphasized, were you in the class when I did this? And I asked them to look and notice when it refers to him as Son of God versus Son of Joseph. Son of God, S is capitalized. Son of Joseph, it's not the...
It's the lowercase.
Lowercase, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the difference
and
of...
Maybe I was there.
The eternal of home versus the Son of Man home.
Right.
Right, temporary. So Son of God, when you hear Son of God, what does that reveal to you? What is it?
Hallelujah. He is the Son of God. I don't know how to say that. He is our Heavenly Father's, our God's Son.
Okay. He came from heaven.
Yeah.
His Heavenly Father. So we had his earthly dad. Now we have his Heavenly Father.
We should have got that after the last one, the earthly.
Yeah, I know. We should have.
His earthly Father and his now we're Son of God, that his Heavenly Father. So as if you didn't get it, that he's the Lamb of God.
Yep.
All right, the sacrifice that came from God. Do not forget that he is the Son of God. He is not another prophet. He is not good teacher. He is the Son of God. Not only is he the Son of God, but he is the King of Israel. Do you see how he took us through the full measure of who he is and what he's done for us historically? I was like,
it's amazing in 16 verses. I mean, how do you get, you know, there's so much in there.
It is rich.
It is rich.
And so that last title reveals that he is the King that shall reign. Okay? The King of Israel. He is the one that will reign. And wow.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, what's really even crazy is that was only really the reflection of one question over this passage. And it took us 4 weeks to cover it. All it was is, what does it reveal about Jesus's names? And look at how much God gave us just from looking at one question as we looked at this passage of Scripture.
And sitting there and not moving on.
Yeah.
Because we want to see what happens next.
Yeah. Well, and it's good to go and see how other Scriptures support Scripture. Those are good things. That's not bad. It's just taking the time, and I can't remember which one of you said it earlier, but Sandy, I guess it was, to sit and meditate.
Yeah.
To really allow it just to seep into us. So as we have looked at this whole concept of the names of Jesus in this passage and in the calling out of the disciples, what does that reveal to you about God for you? His call, his title, what he's wanting. What does it reveal to you that God has for you? Because each of us have something.
Well, he wants to use us. He wants us to be his vessel to go out and find others. And I mean, that is our commission, you know, to go out and tell the story.
Yeah, exactly, for me. But it's not to, you know, you speak differently to everybody. You know, that's, you know, you may be called to, like I said, the open door mission to those people. You have... Every person is called to some place different.
Right.
Just like his name was used to call different people in different ways.
Yeah, and I used to get this hang up, you know, I'd ask all my friends, come with me, you know, and do the birthday blessings or whatever at Open Door, because I love doing it. But their heart isn't into it. And so I had to accept the part that that isn't where they need to be.
Right.
I wanted them to be there, but obviously, you know, God didn't.
So. Yeah, I think I've had to learn those lessons,
too. It's
a hard lesson.
That's
a hard lesson, and not to take it personally.
Right.
But they're called someplace else.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's
it. And finding their place, yes. Helping them find their place. For me, as I was going through this, it was the intimacy. Yeah. How intimately the call was, both in who it was and what he revealed about himself, and even how he then moved forward with them. So with John the Baptist, it was about letting go of self.
Mm. Yeah.
For the disciples, it was come and see, come and stay, come stay with me. And so it was a shoulder to shoulder. For Simon Peter, it was a new name. Mm. I'll call you Cephas, you're Peter. Mm-hmm. He didn't explain it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't revealed yet. It's something that's yet to come. Mm. For Philip, it was follow me. It was a command. Mm-hmm. For Nathaniel, it was, I saw you. I saw you sitting under the fig tree before Philip ever called you. Wow. So for me, it was how intimate God wants and is with those that are to follow him. There's no... I mean, there's no doubt there's a wooing, a drawing near. And so what we have to look to is, what is it that he is saying to me? What name is he given to me? And, you know, and when I said that, Beth, it just reminded me, you do something every year where you ask for a word.
Yeah.
And you were telling me, so share us your word. Go ahead. I'm going to make you say it publicly on radio.
It was, well, I have to say, at first I thought it was going to be joy. Okay, and I was excited about joy, but it's not. It's trust.
Because it's intimacy.
It's trust.
Yep. And whereas mine is, it comes from Hebrews 5:8 for this year, and mine is that even the Son learned obedience through suffering. Mm-hmm. For me, it's to learn how to walk in obedience no matter what is before me. So mine would be obedience. Mm-hmm. God has an intimate relationship he desires with each of us, and he's calling you out. He has a plan for you, and he longs to be in relationship with you.
Amen.
We just need to be willing to listen.
Mm-hmm. I like that challenge you made, too, because I did find a couple passages. Can't think of them right now.
That's okay.
One, of course, is be still and know that I'm God, which I definitely need to do.
That's a good one to do, and I had that one a couple of years ago about learning to be still.
I remember. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're glad that you're listening to Cultivating Hearts, and you need to come back, because starting next month, we're going to be looking at another passage in what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. God bless.